Thank you for joining us on the Southwest Florida Business Podcast. Today, we're joined by Angie Parker and Dre Sanchez from Local Real Estate. We are moving our studio, so you will be seeing this change moving forward. But this episode, we really dig into what they're doing for realtors that come work for them, people who want to build teams within their company. If that's you, definitely check out this episode. You won't want to miss it. There's a ton of great resources in there. And if it is you, I'd recommend reaching out to them to see how you can work together. So without further ado, please enjoy this episode with Angie and Dre from Local Real Estate. This episode is brought to you by Southwest Florida Podcast. We help businesses make marketing videos. Now, a lot of businesses see the value in video content, but they don't know where to start. Filming, editing, posting on social media, these can take up a lot of time and they can be pretty frustrating. And that's where we come in. We work with businesses to highlight the value they bring to their customers and share that online. Now, we've created the Marketing Manager's Guide to Video Content that you can download for free by following the link below or scanning the QR code on your screen. Now, enjoy the show. Angie, Dre, thank you for joining me. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. So I want to dig into what's going on in the real estate market around here. I think everybody that's been living here, at least for the past 3 or 4 years, has seen craziness with prices going outrageous and people buying homes for $20,000, $30,000, $100,000 over asking price, sight unseen. That stuff seems to be going away now. It seems to be leveling out, but it's hard to tell what's going on, honestly, from an outside perspective, because some people say the market's crashing and some people think that this is going to continually go up forever. So I'm not even sure what question I should ask to start, but what's going on? And then let's dig into it from there.
Well, that very observant saying, I picked up right away when you said, you know, a lot of people really don't know what's going on, because you do get a mixed response out there. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, the last 3 years have just been insane. We went 2.5 years of a buyer frenzy that took all of the experienced professional realtors out of their comfort zone completely, because all your basics and everything that you did and learned over the years kind of just went out the window. I mean, everybody was trying to move as quickly as they could, and we're into this environment where, yes, we were having 40 offers on one property is the most I can remember. Multiple offer situations. We had to kick it into high gear and figure out, okay, what does this look like? What can we do to help benefit these agents to get them through the process? And then last summer, we all of a sudden had a halt. And it was the first summer since COVID that we really noticed, okay, things are normalizing. You know, we're not in a buyer frenzy any longer. Some agents are like, oh my gosh, what just happened? And then other agents all of a sudden were experiencing, because the market had normalized and they were getting back into their normal activities of running their business, they're like, we're busy again. So really a mixed bag, if you will, right? Depending on the realtor and the agent of what's happening. Fast forward to today, what are we seeing? Well, it's been interesting over the last few months. We did pick up at the end of fourth quarter. You know, having a hurricane, a major hurricane in October, even in my 29 years, I've never seen a hurricane to that magnitude here. And we didn't know what to expect. So October, November, as you can suspect, we're a little quiet, a little scary. And December then picked up. And we've been, really, business has been building since then. We actually have seen multiple offer situations again, because we are still low as far as inventory goes. You know, that's been the problem over the last 3 years, is not enough inventory to meet the demand. But we're still there. We're still in a seller's market. We're still at a deficit of inventory. Dre, what do you want to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit it spot on. You know, when she says a normal real estate or seller's market, you know, right now we're at about 3 months of inventory on average between Lee and Collier County. You know, where a normal market should be is around 6 months. So we still are in a seller's market. And like you said, you know, first quarter definitely picked up this year. We have had multiple offers. We have seen over ask. As long as things are priced right and not pie in the sky, they're going to sell.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So is that, so I know that things slowed down for about month and a half. And what was the perception of people buying, or I guess not buying at that time? And what was the kind of shift that happened and that got these conversations starting and people started looking for houses and things started moving? What was that process like?
Well, I think there were a lot of consumers that, you know, when things got really crazy, said, listen, I'm going to step this one out and wait and see what happens. And then once the market started to normalize, they got back on their search. Said, okay, well, now I'm not dealing with 40 other people making an offer. We started to see situations where there were, you know, some incentives.
Especially with the new home product.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the builders came back to giving some incentives for product that was either about to be ready or ready to go. And the buyers were very intrigued by that. So while, you know, Dre hit it on the head, while that buyer frenzy was going on, there were quite a few buyers that did bow out and said, I just can't do this anymore. It's exhausting. I've made offers $100,000 over ask, and I'm still losing out. Like, this is crazy. We're taking a break. But we've seen those buyers come back into the market now, and they are getting some incentives. And it is kind of it's interesting to see how that evolved from going from that complete craziness to then kind of almost like the switch flipped, and then having a major hurricane, and then encouraging and getting back into our business mode, right, after the hurricane. And
yeah,
it's been a very interesting, nothing like I've ever seen in all my years of real estate. Trying to predict what the market's going to do, no matter how much you study the market and listen to as much information as you can, it's difficult to know what's going to happen.
So you've been in real estate for
29 years. This is my 29th year.
All right. So I'd say you know a thing or two, most likely, about how to run these businesses.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know, though.
Just a thing or two. So you guys went through this. You had the frenzy, slowdown last summer. You have the hurricane, all these things. But now business is bouncing back. And like you said, it comes from that kind of having those fundamentals, I'd assume. So how do you go about setting up this as like a real business that can withstand something like that, withstand these huge changes, that can withstand a hurricane, and then have these lulls and then be in the spot to actually come back, do things the right way, grow back? And I know that the hurricane put a challenge on everybody, but how do you think about structuring the business so that way it's solid, so that way it can survive these kind of things?
Well, I think there's opportunity in every market. You know, if you look back even to like 2008, when, you know, things changed, there was still opportunity. You know, at that point, there were people doing REOs, you know. So in any type of market, there's opportunity to take market share and to flourish.
Okay.
And I think that's the one thing that we really needed to recognize and quickly help our agents to, you know, adjust their business plans and or get back to the basics, which was a little delicate, you know, right after the hurricane. Obviously, we had several of our agents that either lost their home or had parents that lost their home or both. And so it was a delicate time to where, of course, we rolled up our sleeves, got in, did whatever we could to help out. But I quickly realized, you know, a couple weeks in that I have to address the situation of getting back to work and encouraging everyone to do so. And that was probably one of the most challenging things that I've done over the last several years. Because obviously you have a lot of empathy, but you at the same time need to go back to, you know, hey, you have a business to run. And if we're out of our business for too long, it is going to be like starting over. Mm-hmm. And especially coming off of a buyer frenzy. And then all of a sudden, it's kind of like the water valve shut off over the summer. And then you have a hurricane. So it's like you've already lost some traction in some situations. And so we really started doing a lot of training, offering a lot of coaching. I was reaching out one-on-one to encourage people to say, hey, what can I do to help you? What you know, what do we need to do? And just really having the empathy, but also kind of that gentle nudge to, hey, what can we do to get your business going? And I think that's where what we did, you know, November and December really helped a lot of the agents to realize. I, you know, some had the, you know, you do have kind of the guilt syndrome when you don't have anything that really devastating happened during that storm. But all of a sudden, you know, the people that you're around all the time did.
Yep.
And it's like, how do I balance the fact of, oh my gosh, I should be helping them every day or doing something for them, but I'm going back and I'm worried about my business. So it was an interesting, you know, time. And I think that most of our agents, you know, understood and got back to doing what they needed to do to understand that, hey, I still have a family to support. I still have people depending on me. I still have to do my business. And it was a great time to where the local people here and or investors that own properties were quickly looking for alternatives. So we started to see quickly in November and December, the people that had lost their homes completely and or the folks that were going to be coming here in January that may be snowbirds needed that alternative space, if you will, whatever it was, whether they were moving east or what they just needed something, knowing they wouldn't be in their home for a year or so. So it was that opportunity to really help, right? The people out there and kind of look at it from that standpoint. So I don't know if I ever answered the question, but I kind of just gave you a snapshot of what our world looked like right after Ian and kind of just describing, I think, from an agent's perspective, what I think they were going through.
Mm-hmm. No, that makes sense.
And how we tried to.
And what we did.
Tried to help. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, it makes sense because that's those are kind of core fundamental pieces of what you would need, whether it's Ian or I don't know, even following something like 2008, right, where this stuff crashes and you need to go back to the basics. So if I can ask, what were some of those like basics that you're getting people back to?
Well, I think the number one thing is the engagement piece. You know, anytime you go through devastation, your mindset sometimes just is not there, right? Mm. And we that's something that we've always been really good at is trying to keep a very positive mindset, a growth mindset, an educational mindset, you know, all these things that help you grow your business.
Sure.
So I think that was the number one thing of just really making sure people were okay and doing the right things to try to help that mindset every day. Getting back into a routine, I think, was key with that and encouraging those routines.
And being around real estate and real estate conversations. Yeah. You know, we definitely had a lot of events in our office where we were educating, we were providing value to them, we were having conversations about the market and the opportunities. So I think that, you know, definitely helped. And it was around business planning time. So we also had some business planning that we were talking about and helping the agents with.
And recognizing that no matter what the market's doing, and this is key, I went through the height of the height, then I went through the low of the low, and I've experienced real estate in four states as well. So I quickly realized during the debacle in 2007, I mean, that was a time where you had to, we saw it. We saw it starting to cave. And then by 2008, it had caved. But we also knew that that was going to bring a lot of opportunity for investors, which it did. I was a HUD broker. I was a Fannie Mae broker, a Freddie Mac broker. So I had the opportunity to see a real opportunity from what the market gave us. Same situation in this, even though the times are different and the scenario is different, still huge opportunity. You know, for our agents that are in business and have done this for a while, you know, they will get back to their basics. They will run their business as a business and they will do very well. We'll have a lot of realtors that got in the market, you know, over the last 3 years, and they're going to struggle. They're not going to know exactly what to do. They didn't have an opportunity to really set this up and run it as a business because they got in at a time that it was just such an unusual time in our industry. So I think that, you know, having the agents recognize the opportunity in front of them, I think, is one thing that we continue to talk about all the time.
Absolutely.
Do you think, so you just brought up something interesting of the either the younger or the newer people getting into the real estate game. Do you think that the past few years, obviously we're in Florida, so everybody and their cousin and their aunts and uncles are realtors, but or have a real estate license. But do you think that this had a negative impact on the people that wanted to get into this for real, where they wanted this to be their career? Do you think that this gave them like a totally false sense of what it meant to be a realtor, and now they're having to relearn like the fundamentals 2 or 3 years into the game? Like, what effect do you think that's having on new realtors, at least the serious ones?
It's a great question.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I think it's definitely a learning curve for them. You know, if they got into the market in 2020 when, you know, things really took off here, it's a big shift. Yeah. You know, it's a big shift to, you know, what a normal real estate market is. So I think there will be a learning curve, you know, and I think they're going to have to learn how to run their business in a normalizing market.
And that's one thing, too. You know, there has been a lot of things that have been thrown at us. So a mixed bag between the ones that were new that got in and they really don't know what a normal market is and or really what is needed in today's real estate climate to run a successful business, right? If people join teams, a successful team during that time, they're more than likely still doing okay.
Sure.
Because they've been surrounded by others that are helping them, guiding them. The folks that got in and hired a coach right away, they're probably doing okay because they had that, you know, that coach telling them about the climate, the market, the things, the fundamentals you needed to be doing right from the start. But the folks that kind of got in and maybe were just thrown into it and they did really good because they had a great sphere of influence. They knew a lot of people. And so they did really well. They never had to set up the fundamentals, the basics. So we've been focused a lot on back to basics. Even if you were an experienced realtor and you went through that 2.5 years of just insanity, a lot of those realtors, you know, there wasn't time for the basics. They got out of the realm of the basics. And so they had to quickly understand, hey, what I was doing and building my business on the last 10 years was working. I just haven't been doing it. So the key, in my opinion, is two things. Number one, if a realtor's out there and they're not part of a team and they're newer, they probably need to be part of a team or hire a coach. Those are the two things I think that will guarantee them the success, hopefully. And the other side of it, if you're an agent that's gone through this and you recognize that your business practices and your basics that you need to do, you haven't been doing and you're seeing a lull in your business, well, for heaven's sakes, two things. Number one, join a team or hire a coach. Mm-hmm. And I say that because I really believe in today's real estate climate that it's going to take that to be successful in this business. If you're seasoned and you have a great book of business, just go back to your basics, work your sphere of influence, work your referrals. It's going to come back into play. If you're not and you haven't been around long enough to establish that, well, for heaven's sakes, that's where I say the team or a coach, I think, is really the way to go.
Do you think on that side, we talked about mindset. Do you think that that comes down to a certain mindset of feeling like, well, I know everything, or I don't want to come off like I don't know what I'm talking about, so I'm not willing to go find a team or I'm not willing to go find a coach. Do you think that plays into some of it?
I think it comes down to just not knowing what to do sometimes.
Really?
Really. I honestly do. You know, yes, you know, the fact of the matter is that you are the CEO of your own business. Whether you are an individual agent and or part of a team, you're still running your own business, right? And I think just that mindset and the reality of, well, what does it take to be a successful realtor? What are the five non-negotiables I need to do every day in order to know I have today business and ongoing business, right? And I just think that, you know, again, experienced or new, either you've forgotten the basics, right? Or we just have gotten out of the practice of not having them. And or you just need to recognize, what is it that I need to do? Who do I need to surround myself with to really, you know, have this opportunity that's in front of me? Because there's definitely an opportunity. We will see realtors out of the business this next year.
I bet.
Probably a large number.
So, all right. So I want to go back to that piece of why you think that that's the case too. But also, just if you're okay with sharing it, you said five non-negotiables for a newer realtor that's getting into it. What does that mean? And what does that look like in practical terms? Like, what's an example of that?
So when I talk about five non-negotiables, you know, I work a lot with you know, coaching and business building with the agents, and just talking about your schedule. You know, it's critical that you have a schedule and you follow a time block schedule, and your time blocking, you know, time to, most importantly, make your calls, right? You've got to talk to these folks. We need to be having 10 meaningful conversations every day. If we did that, and I'm saying every day, the days that you work, right?
Sure.
You know, if you do that, you're going to absolutely find your business, build your pipeline. So one, 10 meaningful conversations a day. Secondly, you need to be looking at who's in my pipeline, who am I adding to my pipeline, and making sure that you are maintaining that all the time. That's why a lot of agents go in cycles, right? They get very, very busy. They've done the fundamentals. They get very, very busy. They haven't done the fundamentals. And then all of a sudden they go from this to this, right? So is it easy? No. If it was, we'd all be highly successful, right? But it's recognizing so meaningful conversations, making sure that we're pipeline, right? We are maintaining, we are growing, we are knowing when people are coming, we are making sure that our business isn't doing the ebbs and flows, right? Third, you know, we have to go on appointments. If we don't have an appointment, then there's no way we're getting to a contract, right? So your goal is every day, I've got to have an appointment. I've got to set an appointment. That's my goal. Fourth one, you know, you've got to negotiate contracts, right? I mean, we have to negotiate contracts to get to that closing day. And then the fifth one is, you know, in today's world, we really do have to have an effective marketing plan that does include video, the thing we're scared to death of. I'm probably the biggest chicken out there. Terrible anxiety about being on camera, but it's the reality of our world today. You know, 29 years ago, when I sold real estate, I had an MLS book. I wasn't even online. We didn't even have websites yet for real estate. And so I never had to face anything like this. It's very different in today's world with regard to that. So having that effective plan and knowing that I've got to get out of my comfort zone and do those videos.
Yeah. Well, the last piece is not exclusive to real estate. It's conversations I have with business owners all the time. But the interesting part about it too is like that is a universal fear. But one of the things that it's almost funny to me from an outside observer, because in my position, I got to be on camera all the time. And most of the time, the people I talk to, you've been doing this for 29 years. The amount of stuff that you know about your industry could be more than I know about life at this point. So in terms of an outside viewer, I'm like, oh my God, I would kill to have that depth of knowledge and the amount of things that you know about the financial side of real estate and that you know about the operational side and teaching people and training people. So one thing that I've noticed is if you can go back to the fundamentals of what you do all the time, every day, and just take conversations that you have. So out of those 10 meaningful conversations that you have, you can pull one kernel of knowledge from any of those and then turn that into something. Because if you can change your mindset around, I got to be on camera to, oh, this thing that I told somebody helped somebody. Now I'm going to just put this on video so I can put it out there. And maybe that'll help 3 people. Maybe 1,000 people will see it. And maybe 997 of them won't care or doesn't matter. But there's 3 realtors out there that were like, all right, that's what I was looking for. That's where I see that fifth part coming into play. And one of the ways that you can kind of mitigate it is just go back to, I'm an expert at this. I might not be an expert at video, but let me just share something that can help somebody. And as soon as I started doing that, it made everything so much easier, because I was always afraid, like, I've only been doing this for a year and a half. What do I really know? No, I don't really know all that much, like imposter syndrome. So I don't know. I hope that can help if realtors are listening too.
That's awesome. And that's a great way to look at it, because that's what we do on a whole, is we want to help people. I mean, that's the whole kind of basis of our business, is we're in business to help others.
Well, and it's funny, and I want to ask you about this, because one of the first times I came in and I wanted to tell everybody, I was going around to different businesses telling them about the podcast and all that stuff. One of the first times I was like, I got to go into local real estate. So I walk in, I open the door, and I look in there, and there's like 60 people in a training course all around something. And I just looked in, and I just closed the door and let it go. But that stood out to me. I was like, oh, I didn't know brokerages did this. So what are some of those things that you actually teach realtors? Like, you have people that come in and teach different seminars on aspects of the market. One, what are some of those things? What do you dive into? And then kind of why do you do that?
We've done a lot of things. We've had, you know, experts in their fields come in, whether it's, you know, a mortgage person, an inspector. We've had a national trainer come in and, you know, focus on, you know, the market and business building and business planning. So, I mean, we really don't do the same thing over and over. We try to keep things fresh and relevant to what's going on in today's market.
Okay.
And one thing, though, that we do over and over, and I always tell our agents this, and it's kind of the old saying of, and I do this probably during every opportunity that I get in front of them is I will say the same things over and over again when it comes to the fundamentals and the things that they need to be doing to grow their business. And the reason I repeat them so often is that eventually it will become second nature for them. They'll eventually, the light bulb goes off and you go, oh gosh, wait a minute, I think I heard that before. You'll probably hear it from somebody else and that's wonderful. But I'm that squeaky wheel kind of in their ear that I hope they hear and I hope it makes a difference in their business. Like I hope that, you know, that's what makes me tick is when I do see the agents achieve business goals that they never thought they could do. Like that's always been my passion in this industry. And by doing and reiterating the same things, I'm always learning. I mean, you would think, why in the world would I be in coaching myself? Why in the world would I be taking all these courses, always going to conferences, always learning? If I'm not in that growth mindset and educational mindset, I'm not going to survive. Like, I feel like I'm not going to make our agents better, right? And or give them maybe a tool that helps them to do better in their business. So, yeah. So I do a lot of, when I have like our business builders club meeting twice a month, I'll have a broker's corner twice a month. There's going to be a lot of repetitive things that come through. But again, it's that engagement piece that really gives you an accountability piece. And all of us hate accountability at the end of the day, right? there's a reason I don't call it coaching anymore. I call it business building. Because at the end of the day, it's just, it's those nuggets, if we can just hear them enough. And if it's things that I've learned that I know over time, if you keep doing those same fundamentals, your business is going to grow. It just will, right? Mm-hmm. So we do a lot of, with regard to certain things, we do repeat.
Both.
At least
right,
me.
Right. And I think the day that you came in, we were actually having a sales meeting.
I think so. I think it was our monthly meeting.
And typically in those meetings, we'll highlight what's going on in the national market and dive all the way down to the hyper-local market. And kind of inform them of what's going on, you know, in terms of statistics and giving them all the information that they would need to talk to a consumer and tell them exactly what's going on in the market. We share slides and all kinds of, you know, information data that they can share with, you know, the consumer.
Got it. Okay. Do you feel like that sets them up to have like a more strategic conversation with people and give them, I don't know, better or just more accurate guidance on what they should do?
Well, it makes them a local expert. It makes them, you know, a national expert on what's going on in the market. You know, it's important to be able to say this is what's going on nationally and speak to what's going on in the news. You know, that you're going to see press of what's going on nationally, but what's going on nationally might be very different than what's going on locally. So it's important for the agents to understand both national and local so they can speak to some of those, you know, sound bites or, you know, or things that they're hearing in the news or seeing in the press.
Yeah, that makes sense because I'd imagine a good portion of the people buying homes and things like that are coming from out of state. So you're dealing with two different sets of perceptions all the time as you talk to people.
That's 100% accurate. And we also try to give them data every month that our local board gives us with regard to where are the largest inquiries and where are the people looking at the most properties coming from. Because that's a huge opportunity for them to, you know, connect with realtors from those areas for referral business to kind of build that other sector of their business up. So we do try to give those stats on a regular basis so that, again, we're educating them with everything that they need to be able to be the expert, whether it's local and or have a pulse on the national. We're starting to see a large portion of, you know, international business coming our way, which is, you know, we had it back when I sold. You know, I had a lot of German customers from Germany and a lot of customers from Canada. During the frenzy, we didn't see that as much because of the restrictions. But now we're seeing it again. So, huge numbers internationally. We've got several of our agents who are really focused on getting their CIPS designation. So that's your international designation that you can receive to hopefully do more and develop more relationships for the opportunities of international business.
Okay.
Southwest Florida is this little spot where, you know, years ago when I came here, I mean, I can't even tell you how much of this didn't even exist. I mean, this building we're in didn't even exist, okay? Yep. but at the end of the day, people have discovered us, right? And we get a large amount of people now internationally that are coming from the other coast, Miami, Fort Lauderdale, all the way up to West Palm Beach.
Palm Beaches, yeah.
And they've discovered this little hidden gem over here. We're not a secret anymore. The secret's out. And so we do argue, you know, we're getting more and more the international draw.
Got it. What do you think is driving the international draw? I guess suddenly were restrictions lifted or?
I think a lot of restrictions were lifted.
Finally.
You know, we're seeing a lot more international flights coming into RSW, whether from, you know, Germany or Canada, direct flights. I mean, all that kind of helps.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. RSW's done a good job. I think they just got one from, I can't remember where in Germany, but it is a direct flight that's into
from another
RSW.
City, yeah, from yeah. another city that yeah. historically didn't fly.
They
here.
Didn't have before. So that's huge. And when RSW's gotten really a lot of accolades lately as being, you know, the number one airport, and you can't even believe that. I mean, when I was here and RSW was here, I mean, we used to walk outside to go up the stairs to get on our flights. That's, you know, giving away my age. I was 12 when I got in the business. but at the end of the day, I mean, I think all of this ties into us being recognized, being noticed, but then how important it is for our agents to recognize and be aware of the global reach that really we are starting to see here in Southwest Florida.
Well, and I think we're also in the press a lot more, whether it comes to, you know, the number one or top 10 beaches in the country or top 10 places to retire. You know, we're seeing Fort Myers, Cape Coral, Naples. We're seeing all these cities that, you know, kind of encompass Southwest Florida being highlighted.
And in like high growth articles and, you know, things like that. It'll be interesting to see how it shakes out in terms of how many businesses move down here and then, you know, what people can afford in terms of housing and how all that's going to shake out. I don't know. I know that's a 10,000 foot wide question, but what do you guys see happening on that front?
Well, I know that our legislation is working on and has in their forefront affordable housing. I mean, it's been a highlighted issue for a number of years, but I know over the last few years they're hyper focused on it. The Hometown Heroes program that came into effect last year, we've had several of our agents that have been able to help teachers, you know, get into properties with the Hometown Heroes Act that provided for additional down payment assistance and things like that. And they're going back into session. The legislators are in Tallahassee, and I believe they are preparing to fund that bill. $700 million is what I think I heard a number, which really does help because the Hometown Heroes program covers there's four pages of people that would be
that
teachers,
qualifies,
nurses, doctors,
nurses, teachers, firemen, or women,
police officers.
Like it's a
you
lot
need
of folks.
First responder. In other words, is what really that bill encompasses. And I believe Senator Pasadomo is also, I think, going to add to that possibly. Okay. I'll be in Tallahassee at the end of the month, so I'll know more. But we try to keep really in tune and focused on a pulse of what's happening with regard to that. Because as we know, our prices have gone up, right? There's no secret there. Affordable housing, now more than ever, right? With the price of rents, they're not coming down anytime soon, we don't think. And you know, it's really difficult for folks. I think this Hometown Heroes bill was one thing that our agents really got excited about because it was our opportunity to help maybe those people that didn't think they could buy a home, but yet were spending $3,000 a month on rent. And it was just a matter of the education piece, getting those people in front of a lender to see what they qualify for in conjunction with being able to offer that, you know, Hometown Heroes.
Yeah. Sure. Were you going to add something to that?
And you know, paying rent at $3,000 a month is tough. I mean, we want them to build equity. I mean, as you know, real estate is, you know, one of the major avenues of building wealth and historically has been in our country. So it's important that everyone have that opportunity.
Got it. Do you think that I never thought of it like this, but the Hometown Heroes program is almost like a vehicle for delivering that kind of support and that kind of relief. So do you think that that's going to be kind of the way that the vehicle moving forward to deliver that relief and make sure that housing is affordable for these different types of jobs, like people who have these professions, to make sure that that stuff is still here? Because I guess there's all kinds of ways that you could.
Right. It's definitely one of them.
Okay.
Because, I mean, I think it spills over into healthcare, nurses.
There's a lot of different
roles that fall into that program.
Got it. And so do you think that that is going to be one of the primary ways moving forward that they use legislation to make sure that at least some aspect of buying a house is affordable, or instead of spending $3,000 a month on rent, we can help you get into a home, and maybe you're still spending $3,000 on a home, but you're building equity mm-hmm. instead. Do you feel that that's going to be one of the biggest vehicles they use to do this moving forward?
I feel it's one of the components. I think another component is that I think there's part of the bill that actually provides for certain areas to be sectioned off for affordable housing, whether it's building above, say a Publix grocery store or doing something to where you've already got one thing there. If you could build up, right, so to speak,
sure.
It would provide for more opportunities for more reasonably priced housing. I know that was one thing they talked about. It was at a luncheon a couple of weeks ago when we had the pleasure of having Senator Pasadomo here and then the House of Representatives. So it was good to be able to get a feel for what to expect when they go. I think they're in session this week. I think they've already gone back. So they really do work. The realtors, there's a political action fund that you can fund every year to really help those bills to propel forward. And it's really something that a lot of our agents get very involved in and really help to make sure that we're getting to the legislation to do these things that are so important.
Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, you can give them real-time feedback from the ground because it's hard to just make stuff up from a state level. You don't really know what's going on. And like you said, even Florida is its own kind of beast, but Southwest Florida is its own kind of beast within the beast.
Exactly.
It seems like. Yeah, nothing.
So true.
Nothing here that's happened in the past like 10 years is the way it's happening almost anywhere else. There's like a pocket full of stuff. Like Austin is somewhat similar to us, it seems like. A little different, a little more metropolitan. But yeah, you talk to people like throughout the country, it's like, here's what's going on here. And they're like, that's not happening in Wisconsin or in New York or wherever, Idaho. I guess actually Idaho is kind of happening like this, but
it's hopping. That's a hopping area, up and coming from what I understand.
You ever been to Boise?
Never.
Never.
It's actually surprisingly one of the coolest places I've ever been to. And I never anticipated that Boise, Idaho would be one of the coolest places that I'd ever been to. Okay. Yeah, Idaho has a lot of really cool spots. There's like valleys and mountain areas, and then Boise was really cool. There was a long stretch of driving that was literally potato fields. So that actually does hold up the potato part. But other than that, it was surprisingly a really nice downtown metropolitan area and everything like that. So I don't know. Side note, in case you ever want to go to Boise, Idaho.
It's good to know. I really don't know much about the area.
You're swinging by. Yeah. Just pop into Boise, you know?
Very awesome.
I guess shifting gears a little bit. How did you guys end up forming Local Real Estate? How did this company come about?
Well, we ironically started working at a franchise on the same day, and we were hired to turn this franchise around. They had been struggling, and we worked together there for just over 2 years, and we successfully turned it around. How many agents did we hire there?
237 in 2.5 years.
Just a small amount.
Just a few. Just a couple.
And I think, you know, probably one of the best years in terms of sales volume that I think they had. But, you know, I go back to the question here. Afterwards, I think I left first.
You left first.
And she left shortly thereafter. And we were just having a conversation one day, you know, about what's going on? What are you doing? What's next? And we said, you know, I don't remember if you told me or I told you, but we said, we did such a good job over there. Why don't we do this for ourselves? You know, obviously, Angie has been in real estate for such a long time. She's run, you know, regional franchises and all kinds of stuff. I said, you know, it's about time, you know, we did this for ourselves. So we took the leap and late 2018. So, I'm sorry, 2018. So we are currently in our fifth year of business. It's been a ride. It's been great.
It's been a ride. We've grown. We have 84 agents today.
Last year, we helped over 600 families for well over $325 million in sales volume. So we're doing well. You know, we're very proud of our agents. We're very happy with their successes.
Focus on culture. Culture is our number one thing. You know, we believe that a collaborative environment is one of the best you can offer for the agents. It's their business. They run it as their business. But we also recognize that, you know, not one size fits all. It's not putting somebody in a box and saying you have to do it this way. It's like, hey, let us pour some knowledge into you that we have, things that have worked. You figure out what works for you, and we're going to support that all day long. So it's just, I think, a unique.
Yeah, we look at it as a partnership.
Yeah.
You know, we look at it as a true partnership between us and the agent. We're kind of an extension of their business.
We don't compete. We're non-competing. So we're there truly for them. And my efforts especially, wholeheartedly, are focused on let's build your business. What can we do to help? Where do you want to be? What do you think you could achieve? You know, like really just having those business conversations, right? And that's really important. And thank goodness Dre has all these wonderful skill sets that I don't. We perfectly complement each other.
Absolutely.
Strengths and weaknesses. He's got the, you know, he's brilliant when it comes to creating spreadsheets. I love it. He's just awesome at it. I love to read them, but if I had to create one, my computer would be on 41. Brilliant marketing mind, design. He's got all of those things that's not my side of the brain, right?
Well, and same here. I mean, the things that she does, I could never do. I mean, so we balance each other out.
We do.
Perfectly, in my opinion.
But we have the same goal and objective. That's Absolutely. What's so cool about us is that, you know, we are agent-centric. That's our focus. That's our customer. Their customers are extension of them, and they're our customers too. But our focus is the agent.
Hmm. And okay. by the end of this year, I think we'll be somewhere well over 2,000 families helped and over $1 billion in real estate. So
we'll hit that mark finally.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm a little impatient when it comes to... He's had to get used to that. I know I drive him crazy, but I'm a pusher. I want always more. I'm never satisfied. It's like, okay, let's do this next. Now what's next? You know, really. And I think that's where, you know, I either drive the agents absolutely out of their minds on occasion, but I try to each one individually recognize and observe. And I do push harder when I know they're capable. But at the end of the day, also, I mean, it's all about them and their business. It's not a matter for me to say, hey, you need to sell 5 million. No, it's like, what do you need to sell? Where do you need to be? Where do you want to be?
Well, and you mentioned, I guess coming back to mindset and coaching people. So what factor does that play into all of this in terms of getting those results and understanding what people want and how you can push them and help them become like a better version of who they are? I mean, yeah, what I know we keep talking about, but why is that such a core piece, and what role does it play?
I think it's something that, you know, a lot of agents feel that it's something that, number one, they don't explore because they think that they can't afford to do it.
In what way? Economically or like emotionally?
I think both, to be honest, and be very candid with you. It's number one, it's a scary thing when you sign the contract with a coach for a year and you know how much money you're going to put out, because it's not inexpensive. A good coach is going to cost you a couple $1,000s a month, right? Yep. And I think the other piece is the fear of failure, right? I'm going to pay all this money and I'm not going to do the work. And oh my gosh, somebody's going to hold me accountable. It's a terrifying thing, right? I mean, just think of all of us that are entrepreneurs. I mean, there's a certain level of fear that we have every day. Heck, I do every day. Are you kidding? I fear about everything, right? But I think that hopefully being able to have them self-recognize the opportunities and be able to on a level to where they wouldn't maybe go out and sign up and say, I'm getting into coaching, I'm doing this, right? But having them, the availability for them to explore the option and it's offered with us, I think is a huge thing in our industry that's just not, it's not everywhere that is able to do that and or has the focus around trying to encourage more people to really have that as part of their business plan and their mindset every day, right? Is planning and building my business.
And giving them the tools to do so, whether Correct. It's technology-wise or something else.
Yeah. Do you feel like that's like absent in a lot of places, or does it just depend on the type of place? Because some of these places seem like mills, get people in, churn them, burn them. I don't know. Is it like a gap in the market, do you think?
I think it depends on the business model for each, right. You know, each brokerage is different, right?
And that isn't our motto. Our motto isn't, you know, bring in a ton of people, turn them and burn them kind okay. of thing. I mean, we're about our culture. We're like a family. So we're a little different than other brokerages in that sense.
Yeah, I think that, you know, number one, I'm always afraid I'm going to fail somebody. That's my biggest fear. I'm going to fail you. I don't want to fail you. I feel that it's definitely a responsibility when someone comes aboard, right? We take on that responsibility mm-hmm. and we feel responsible to an extent, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of, you know, we want you to be successful. And by hiring a lot of new people, I know that I couldn't pour into, you know, 20 new agents at a time. There just wouldn't be that time frame in the day. But again, I think that, you know, looking at the people that come in and what their levels of expectation and what do they need, right? Are they able to be in a collaborative situation? Because that's really kind of one of our biggest, I would say, model standpoints is a lot of what we do is collaborative with the other agents. I think agents learn best by and through
Well, they're learning
situations.
From other agents' experiences. Yeah. So, you know, yeah. if an agent is telling you something that they just went through, then, you know, your ears
learning.
Are going to perk up when you're in that situation and say, well, I heard that this happened before and this is how it was handled and this is what worked well. So it's important to be collaborative and listen and learn from others, right?
For sure. I think that's something that's been concerning me for the past 3 years or so since the pandemic started with newer people coming into the workforce is just not getting that experience of, you know, it seems like people are going back into the office and that's becoming more of a, like a mandate requirement. But I know that me just being around other professionals or at that time, just adults who actually were just real adults and not complaining about everything like I was when I was like a teenager or in my early 20s. And that can kind of like reset you and make you go like, okay, I guess everything's not about me. And when you start to feel that way, you can start to learn from other people. I don't know. That's one thing that I think that some of the younger people coming into the workforce kind of got like screwed over on a little bit.
Well, we're human beings, definitely through COVID and learning how to be not around others and or be at home with either our spouses or our children on a 24/7 basis and or homeschooling our children. I mean, all these variables that came into play. I mean, I think that, you know, we all as human beings weren't necessarily wired to be able to just jump into saying, oh, this is the new way of life. It took a moment. And I think as quickly as we could start getting back together, we did. And to this mm-hmm. day, we offer hybrid situations because we have some agents that live, you know, in Cape Coral. It might take them an hour to get here. So we do hybrid. You know, we're able to do Zoom right. meetings.
And that's
for
one thing that we did during COVID yeah. is we, you know, continued to do the things we were doing, just switched to hybrid.
Yeah.
And then once it became possible, we started to meet in person and kept the hybrid model right. still active because, you know, time constraints, you know, if someone lives far, they have something else going on, they can just pop in and still do it. So I think that's been nice to be able
well
to do that.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, I think the businesses that have been incorporating that seem to get the best results. It seems like the hard, fast one or the other is where people are running into the issues like, well, we're staying remote completely. Well, nobody knows each other or everybody needs to be in the office. Well, I can't drive from Cape Coral for a 30-minute meeting right. to drive back up to Cape Coral or Punta Gorda for a showing in 3 hours. Like it doesn't make sense. So can I just zoom it? Okay.
Great.
Yeah. Is there anything else that we should cover while we're talking? Anything else important?
I feel like we've talked about a lot, haven't we?
Yeah, I think we covered a lot.
Is there anything else that you want to know from us?
I could probably ask another hour worth of questions, so I want to be respectful of the time. But I appreciate you guys both coming and talking through this. I'm glad we finally did this. Like you said, it's been
in the making.
It's been in the making for a while. And do you think just an on-air testimonial from when you walked into the amount of time that's passed through the conversation, was it as pain-free as I was explaining before?
Absolutely. All right, and I forgot the cameras were there.
Good.
So
all right.
It doesn't even feel like we've been talking as long
I don't even
as we
know
have.
How long
I have
we've
no
been
idea. Yeah, but it's been great conversation, and we can't thank you enough for having us. We really do appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. And believe it or not, we've been talking for 6 hours. So
no wonder I'm so hungry.
Well, thank you guys for doing this. I really appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Southwest Florida Podcast. We help businesses make marketing videos. Now, a lot of businesses see the value in video content, but they don't know where to start. Filming, editing, posting on social media, these can take up a lot of time and they can be pretty frustrating. And that's where we come in. We work with businesses to highlight the value they bring to their customers and share that online. Now, we've created the Marketing Manager's Guide to Video Content that you can download for free by following the link below or scanning the QR code on your screen.